Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day that you have given to us, this day that is set aside to come and meet with you. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people to come out to this place. We thank you for the desire in their hearts to gather around your word and the desire to have you to fill our cups. And we pray that you would speak to us from your word tonight and teach us that we might live for you here in this world, that we might stand for you, that we might be a blessing to you. We pray that you would continue to bless this church. We thank you for it, and we pray for your hand of blessing and your hand of protection upon it, as well as for the school and the bookstore and all of the ministries that go out from this place. We thank you for allowing us to be a part of what you're doing here in this world. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to continue to look at these verses in Luke chapter 8. And we want to continue to think about the order that Luke sets forth in this first verse. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Preaching and showing. That's the order that we find here in verse 1. And it's an order that is so important. Preaching and showing. The order is a reminder of what we read in 1 Corinthians 1:21. We talked about it last week, that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And the order in this verse is preaching. Preaching first. It's first. Now, we might call these messages even the primacy of preaching. It's what God has ordained. The foolishness of it to the world to save them that believe. And it's worth noting, and I think we mentioned this last week, that the order, this order that we see in verse 1, preaching and showing, is the order that we see in this chapter. In verses 5 through 21, we see the Lord Jesus preaching. And then in verses 22 to the end of the chapter, we see him showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of heaven. In our first message, I think it was about a month ago, we began looking at the message that the Lord preached here. We find it in the parable of the sower. In this parable, there are four kinds of ground that correspond to four kinds of hearers, that correspond to four kinds of hearts. And we make that connection between the ground and the heart because ground in the Bible is a picture of the human heart. And in our first message, we looked at the seed, the Word of God, that fell by the wayside. Wayside ground, as we see in this parable, is ground that is trodden down. And ground that is trodden down is ground that is hard. And so we saw in verse 5 that we're looking at a hard heart. A heart that has trodden underfoot the Son of God. A heart that has trodden underfoot the message of the cross, the message of salvation. A heart that has done despite unto the grace of God. Verse 5, and the Lord Jesus' explanation of it in verse 12 are sobering verses because they deal with a line that can be crossed from which there's no return, from which there is no remedy. In verse 5, we're looking at a heart that has been hardened until the seed of the Word of God no longer penetrates it. And the fowls of the air, the devil, and the powers of darkness come and take the word out of that hard heart, lest they should believe and be saved. If you're lost tonight, the message to you in verse 5 is very simple. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. In verse 6, we have another kind of hearer. We have another kind of heart. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Luke tells us here that some of the seed fell upon a rock. Matthew refers to it as stony places. And Mark describes this ground as stony ground. And all three of the accounts tell us the problem with rocky or stony ground. Matthew and Mark tell us that stony ground doesn't have much earth. They tell us that stony ground has no deepness. It has no depth of earth. Luke tells us here that stony ground lacks moisture. So stony ground has no depth of earth. It lacks moisture. It lacks water. Now the seed that fell on this stony ground comes up. Matthew and Mark tell us that immediately it sprang up. So what we have here is seed falling on stony ground. It's ground that has no depth of earth. It's ground that lacks moisture. But in spite of the lack of earth and the lack of moisture, the seed immediately springs up. But it doesn't last. As we see in verse 6, it withered away. Now look, if you will, at verse 13. And the Lord tells us about this stony ground. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Now, there's several things that we want to think about in the Lord's words here. First of all is the word joy. Dr. Henry Morris makes a very important point about this word joy. He says that this word joy represents an emotional response to the Word of God. We want to think about that a little bit. Because this stony ground hearer, I believe, is very important and very applicable to this day that we're living in. I believe there is a connection between the characteristics of stony ground, as we see those characteristics here, and the reaction that we see to the seed of the Word of God. Remember the characteristics of stony ground. Stony ground has no depth of earth. Stony ground lacks moisture. It lacks water. We're living in a day not only of stony ground hearers, but I believe we're living in a day of stony ground preaching. Stony ground preaching has no depth to it. Stony ground preaching lacks the moisture. It lacks the water of the Word of God. It's characterized by reading a verse of Scripture, if that is read, and then for the next little bit, whatever length the sermon lasts, be it 30 or 40 minutes, whatever it is, what follows is a series of stories. Stories that begin with humor. They begin on the humorous side of the scale. But as the message progresses, the stories and the illustrations begin to get more serious until they reach the complete other side of the scale, which is almost purely emotion and emotional sort of stories. You've heard that kind of preaching. I've heard that kind of preaching. I think that's stony ground preaching. Preaching that has no depth. Preaching that lacks the moisture. Preaching that lacks the water of the Word of God. And the kind of response that stony ground preaching produces in so many cases is this immediate and emotional type response. And I believe that it's significant that the Spirit of God uses the word joy as the first response here to the preaching of the Word of God. Now, in the context of this parable, in the context of this stony ground hearer, joy is a shallow response to the preaching of the Word of God. Now, I'd like for you to keep your place here and turn over to Revelation chapter 10, if you will. Revelation chapter 10. Because we want to see for just a minute what our response should be to the preaching of the Word of God. Look at Revelation chapter 10 and verse 1. John says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth." Now look at verse 8. "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter." Notice in verse 10 the immediate reaction of John as he ate this little book. It was as sweet as honey in his mouth. May I say that's the immediate, superficial, shallow response to the Word of God? It's as sweet as honey. But notice the response when this little book, notice the response when the Word of God got down into John's belly. It was bitter. The belly in the Bible is the seat of the will. And this book is bitter to our belly. This book is bitter to our will. That's why most people, I guess for lack of a better example, that's why so many people suck on it like a sucker. They never let it get beyond their mouth. They stick it in their mouth like a child, and some adults put a sucker in their mouth. When we think about that and apply it spiritually, we're thinking about people that put this word in their mouth once a week. And they superficially and they shallowly lick it like a sweet piece of candy. And they never let it get in their belly. Because this book is bitter to our belly. This book is bitter to our will. A verse like Luke 9 and verse 23 doesn't bring joy to our belly. It brings bitterness. Luke 9:23 says, "And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." Let him deny himself. That's not joy to our will. Denying self is bitter to our will. Luke 9:24 doesn't bring joy to our belly. It brings bitterness. Luke 9:24 says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." The thought of losing our life doesn't bring joy to our will. Losing our life is bitter to our will. The great need of this hour is for the words of this little book, the Word of God, to get down into our belly. David didn't have a shallow response to the preaching of Nathan the prophet. You learn that when you read Psalm 51, the whole psalm. But particularly, David said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." That's not an immediate, emotional, superficial response to the Word of God. We don't get that kind of response when we just have this book and we just put it in our mouth and we enjoy the honey taste and go on our way. This is the kind of response that we get when we eat the words of this book. When the seed of the word penetrates our heart, when it penetrates our whole inner man, our mind and our emotions and our will. Job didn't have a shallow response to the preaching of Jehovah. Job gives his response to that preaching in Job chapter 42, verses 5 and 6, where he says, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job saw the Lord. And his reaction wasn't shallow. His reaction wasn't superficial. These are not words of immediate joy when Job says, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. The word abhor means to reject. It means to refuse. It means to despise. Job saw the Lord and he rejected himself. He refused himself. He despised himself. He abhorred himself when he saw himself as God saw him. He abhorred and despised what he was by nature. Abhorring self. That's not joy to our will. That's bitter to our will. And it's the kind of bitterness of soul that comes from eating and chewing and meditating and allowing the words of this book to get down into our belly, down into the depths of the seat of our will, until we cry out to the Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? Until we cry out to the Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Luke chapter 8 and verse 13. Let's go back there, if you will. Luke chapter 8 and verse 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. The first word that we looked at here is the word joy. We're living in a day of emotional responses to the Word of God. We're living in a day of stony ground preaching and stony ground professions, a day of superficial preaching and a day of superficial professions. We see that in the word joy. The next word that we want to notice in verse 13 is the word root. These have no root. Stony ground has no depth of earth. And the seed that springs forth springs up. It springs upward because there is no depth of earth in which to, for the roots to be sunk into. Now, notice the order in the life of the stony ground hearer. The seed falls into the stony ground and immediately it springs up. But it has no root. It has no root. There's an interesting verse of Scripture that I think sheds some light on this 13th verse of Luke chapter 8. It's found back in the Old Testament in 2 Kings, and we won't turn there. But it's in 2 Kings chapter 19. And in that chapter, Sennacherib comes against Israel. And he defies the armies of the Lord. And Hezekiah the king knows the situation that he's in. And he prays. And the Lord hears Hezekiah's prayer. And he answers Hezekiah's prayer by sending Isaiah the prophet to speak to him. And in 2 Kings 19 and verse 30, Isaiah tells Hezekiah, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Take root downward, bear fruit upward. Notice the order in that verse. That's God's order. The remnant of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. God's order is first, take root downward. and then bear fruit upward. God works from the inside out. God works from the root to the fruit. God works out of sight. He works in the heart. We're studying in John chapter 3 on Sunday morning. And the Lord Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." You and I cannot see the wind, but we see the effects of the wind. We see the effects of God's order here in people's lives, root downward and fruit upward. God works out of sight in the heart. And then the fruit of His working out of sight in the heart is manifested outward and upward in the life. It's a very important point. And it sort of ties back to something that we said a little bit earlier. We said that it's significant that the Spirit of God uses the word joy as the first response in Luke 8. Here in verse 13, the first response to the preaching of the Word of God. And it's significant because in the context of this stony ground here, joy is a shallow response to the preaching of the Word of God. Joy is a first response to the preaching of the Word. And joy as a first response is getting the order wrong. Joy is not a response to the Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is joy." And God's order is not to bear fruit upward before we take root downward. That's man's order. To work from the outside in. To begin with fruit. Let's have joy. But how can you have joy as fruit when you have no root, when you have not the Spirit of God? God's order is first to take root downward. How's that going to happen in our life? Well, if you turn over to the book of John for just a minute, John chapter 12, and if you'll look at verse 23, John chapter 12, and verse 23. "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." The Lord Jesus is using a corn of wheat, a seed of wheat, falling in the ground and dying to illustrate His death on the cross of Calvary. And the way that you and I take root downward is by coming by faith to the cross and allowing the corn of wheat, the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into the ground of our hearts and take root there. John, in his gospel, shows us the Lord Jesus as the I Am. And there are seven I Ams that John describes or he uses to describe the Lord Jesus in his gospel. The bread of life, the light, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, the vine. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16, John gives us another I Am, the eighth I Am of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says there concerning the Lord, "I am the root." That's what the Lord says there. "I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." I am the root. And when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, The corn of wheat, the seed of wheat, the life of the Lord Jesus takes root downward in our hearts first. He's the root. And then His life bears fruit upward in our life. The Lord Jesus is the fruit of the Spirit. He's love and joy and peace. He's long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. You'll never have those things. We'll never have those things as believers if He does not manifest them in our lives as the fruit of that root that comes into our lives when we trust Him as our Savior. He is all of these things. But the fruit is never born upward until the root, the Lord Jesus, takes root downward in our hearts. Let's go back again to Luke chapter 8, if you will. This 13th verse, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. We're reading here about a false profession. We're reading here about a heart that has the order wrong. We're reading here about someone who's trying to bear fruit upward when they have no root downward. Someone who's trying to bear fruit upward when they have taken, when they've not taken root downward by trusting the root, the one who is the root, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another word that's important in this 13th verse concerning the stony ground here. In both of their accounts of this parable, Matthew and Mark tell us that because the stony ground hearer has no root, he endures for a while, but when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. As fast as they receive the word, just that fast they are offended by it. Offense at the word of God is another characteristic of a stony ground hearer. One more passage I'd like for you to look at is found in John chapter 6, if you'll look over there. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and let's begin reading at verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Here's the Lord Jesus preaching the word of God. And this is not stony ground preaching. This is teaching and preaching that requires depth of earth. Eating flesh and drinking blood is God's symbolism for believing. The Lord Jesus is explaining the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, and he's showing how it ties back to the manna, the bread of God, which came down from heaven to give his life for the world. And he is that bread. The Lord Jesus is teaching here the significance of the Passover lamb that the children of Israel ate in Exodus chapter 12, and how the life of the flesh is in the blood in Leviticus chapter 17, and how the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. Words that Paul will write in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4. The Lord Jesus is going to give His life. He's going to give His blood. Not the blood of bulls and goats. He's telling us why He came. He is the bread of life. He came to give His blood on the altar to make an atonement for our souls. He's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the need of these people was to eat His flesh and drink His blood, not literally, but by faith. Believe His word. Because the words that He spake, He says here, they are spirit and they are life. Now look at verse 60, if you will. Many, therefore, of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, "Doth this offend you? Doth this offend you?" Now look at verse 66. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. These people here in John chapter 6, I believe, are examples of stony ground hearers. They have all the characteristics that we've been talking about. An emotional, physical response to the word. That they had eaten physical bread, and their stomachs had been filled, and they were full of joy. They rejoiced in that. They had no depth of earth. There's no place in their hearts for the root. They have no root. The order's wrong in their life. They're trying to come around and be with the Lord Jesus. They're trying to be His disciples. They're trying to bear fruit upward, if you will, as His disciples, before they've taken root downward. By trusting the root, the one who said, "I am the root," the Lord Jesus Christ. These stony ground hearers were troubled and they were offended by the truth of the Word of God. Those are characteristics of stony ground hearers. I wonder this evening if they are characteristics that might describe someone here. Describe you as a stony ground hearer. Are you offended by the truth of the Word of God? If the Spirit of God is pointing out these characteristics in your life, then right now, you need to get the order right in your life. You need to quit trying to put forth this facade. You need to quit trying to bear fruit upward before you've taken root downward. When we do that, we have a false profession. Our need is to get the order right in our life, to bear fruit downward by allowing the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, to penetrate the ground of our heart, to take root in our hearts. And when we come to Him by faith, He who is the root will come and He'll dwell in our heart by faith, that we might be rooted and grounded in Him. Rooted and grounded in love. That we might be filled with all of the fullness of God. That's how it is in our lives that we take root downward. And then and only then can we bear fruit upward. We know Him tonight. We need to be bearing fruit upward, that people might know who we are, that they might not see us, but that they might see the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the fruit. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for this portion of Your word. We thank You for the preaching of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, how He teaches and preaches Your word. And we thank You for giving us His messages to look at and to study. Thank You for giving us this book where we can compare Scripture with Scripture and spiritual things with spiritual things and understand the message that you want us to see. We pray that your word would penetrate our hearts tonight. We pray that we would not have some momentary, superficial response to it. We pray that we might not just eat it and enjoy the sweet taste of honey in our mouth. We pray that we would let this little book get down and be bitter in our belly and bitter to our will, that we might surrender our hearts to you, that your word might penetrate our being. We need that in this hour. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.